From Montreal, Canada, it's the Travel World Radio Show.
All aboard!
Yeah!
Travel World. Liberty Works Radio Network.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
Ooh!
Boys are back in town. Willem Backus and Stephen Pickford in Montreal. Welcome to the Travel World Radio Show. Willem Backus and Stephen.
Stephen Pickford here, and yeah. Willem is here. Last week he was in Hamilton.
Visiting my dad, who's back home from the hospital, recovering from surgery. Thank you, everybody, for your kind wishes. I do appreciate it.
Email box was flooded with the good wishes of listeners from coast to coast.
I got cards and letters here. Like this one here, wishing your father a speedy recovery, and thank you very much. Overwhelmed by the response.
Oh, it was overwhelming and much appreciated. Also, this past week, had the chance to attend the Travel Media Association of Canada annual convention in Toronto, and the good wishes of a number of people we'd met during the past year, including Mindy Bianca from.
Oh, she's terrific. She is
Maryland
from
Tourism.
Yeah, Maryland Tourism. And when we were actually visiting Liberty Works headquarters, and we were very fortunate, we got to meet Bonnie in addition to meeting Mindy Bianca.
And Mindy sends her regards to Bonnie, and also to Bob Nickman on AMI.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I was speaking with Bob earlier this week. Now, this year, it also ties in with my father, and a little bit about today's show, because we are talking about taking the road, within the Midwest and other parts of the country. The books are about bicycles, but one of the things my father always dreamed of doing was hitting the open road, and this year, my father and I will be taking 2 weeks, and we're going to be doing a road trip along Route 66 from Chicago through at least Albuquerque, because they're having a 75th anniversary.
At the third week of July.
That's correct. So that's all it ties into that. And it's one of those father and son things to do.
Bonding experience, and people want to hit the open road. That's why today we're talking to the various selection of authors who've compiled guidebooks, Bed, Breakfast, and Bike from Anarchist Press. And
bicycle, not motorbike.
Yes. Otherwise, you go to the Hell's Angels Retreat Center.
Hell's Angels descending on this plane of P&B.
Years ago, in the early 90s, I was out in Seattle.
Yeah.
And it was my first trip to Seattle, and this former Eastern Airlines stewardess said, oh, I'm going to take you to this this restaurant that's a favorite hangout of bikers. I said, no, but out in
I remember that.
Pacific Northwest, they referred to bikers as people who just, we would refer to them mostly as cyclists, right?
But and what the hell Hell's Angels ride there? Mountain bikes? I don't know.
Well, I was pretty scared.
They were going to take you to the biker hangout.
No. The bunker, yes.
The bunker.
They're trying to tear down of different municipalities with their.
Some people actually call that House Archie, but. Yeah.
Or the House of the Fallen Arches, no?
Yes. Or the Double Arches. Too many segues here.
Many segues. The Segue Queen will be with us February 24th. She's this weekend down on discovering a spa in New York State.
Mm.
And she'll be talking about that on the show of February
24th. Oh, yeah.
Look forward to. And if you're starting to plan for different activities this winter, you can get away in Toronto. The International Plaza Hotel is offering some special rates for people.
That's a great place, isn't
get
it?
Get away and visit Toronto at some reasonable rates if you're traveling with children. They have a whole children's activity plan. They're having their third annual kids camp starting on March the 9th for children 5 to 12 years old, and it runs from 5 to 11 p.m., and they have a whole activities center with things for kids to do, dinner provided. Prices start at $129 Canadian based on two adults and two kids sharing a room, and then there's a free shuttle bus over to the airport. You're not directly in line of the flight paths, and you have that indoor
park. Oh, the water park is great. And especially that wall right in the middle of the pool.
Bam! You come down the water slide, they have the games room, and play area for children, the jacuzzi tubs, the sauna, and a number of fine restaurants site. There's Harry's Bar, and you can dance at the Wild Rose Club.
Relationship to Dan McAleer.
Maybe he's gone by there on his flights too, through Toronto.
Him and his wife, her nickname is Wild Rose, which is why we say that.
Yeah, you can check them out on the internet. I won't give the internet site. You'll have to just find it on your own.
We might hot link it to it, and that's a very appropriate term. But
there's also a little splash pad with a fountain there where you just stand there and
You're
outside. You can pretend you're outside. It's they bring the best of summer indoors at the International Plaza Hotel in Toronto, 5 minutes from the airport. And their number is 1-800-668-3656. And Vic Phillips will be testing out as well their fine dining Italian restaurant on site.
Sure.
Want to get away for a romantic weekend, Valentine's Day coming up this week.
Oh, yes. I heard that on Liberty Works, as a matter of fact. There was a Christian retreat having a Valentine's Day romantic getaway.
Yeah, down in Myrtle Beach, I believe.
And I'm thinking to myself, oh, no. What are they all going to say?
What,
God, I'm coming?
Could be. Well, I think they've already announced the winner. So, so you're getting down to Myrtle Beach for regards to Stephen Green down at the Chamber of Commerce down there, because you can have some good golf getaways.
That's actually, it is a beautiful resort, and from what Mo Duffy says, she'll go back anytime.
Well, I think she plans to. She plans to. Yeah. And the Hotel Victoria will also be profiled on an upcoming show. Ray Domenico. I had a chance to meet Ray during our visit to Toronto. He'll be on next week. A very interesting man. He's in his 60s now, but he's done things like ran a hotel in New York City. He ran a hotel in Hamilton, Ontario in the days when the mafia ran everything in Hamilton. He knew all the local gangsters, although he wasn't one of them. He opened a hotel in the Orlando area just as Walt Disney World was opening up, so he attended the opening of Walt Disney World.
Isn't that something?
He's done everything and anything in the hotel business, and now he's running a little small boutique hotel, the only one of its kind, boutique property in downtown Toronto in the financial district. It's dwarfed by all these mega hotels where you're lost as a number, and bus tours and conventions overrun the place. Here is a small little hotel where you get that personalized attention to detail of a little breakfast restaurant on site.
That's something.
And you're a block away from Union Station where you catch the trains to anywhere.
Right,
and,
the VRL Canada.
And there's Amtrak trains that connect you to New York and Chicago. You're a block and a half away. So we'll be talking to Ray Domenico at the Hotel Victoria in Toronto. And their number is 1-800-363-8228. And, of course, over the coming weeks, that will be linked from our website as well at www.twc.ca, which is just pretty well in its completed state now. Most of the information is up there. A few more things to do, and we'll be changing the pictures periodically.
We add pictures and move things around and expand it. We're having a lot of fun with this website. Yoav's doing a bang-up job there. Listen, one of the other things is the tremendous reader response that we're getting, viewers and listeners of the website, and we do appreciate all your comments. Please let them flow in.
Oh, yes. Sometimes. And they're all asking me when they will be seeing the bio of Willem Backus. So,
as soon as Willem Backus gets to write, Willem Backus is currently helping his father recover from
There's still
surgery,
plenty of pictures of Willem, so you can download them at night and lull yourself to sleep.
Well, yeah. And well, we have the ones with Cynthia and so on. There is one thing, though. We have found that Liberty Works listeners can be fantastic and a great group of people all across the United States, and there is one airline.
Oh yes, United.
That has dissed you.
The weak link in the Star Alliance.
You see, we've had the pleasure of working with many great airlines who have welcomed Liberty Works people. They figure we want our fellow Americans to actually join us on these flights, on these airlines.
And discover their country.
Absolutely. But one airline says, and let's review some of the fine cities that we're in. We're in St. Louis. We're in Reno. We're in Raleigh. We're in Atlanta. We are in North Chattahoochee. We're in Louisiana. You know, we're in Massachusetts. We're in Rhode Island.
New Hampshire.
We're in Pennsylvania. I mean, across the country. In some, you know, decent cities, you'd figure that, well, United Airlines does serve some of these cities, don't they?
Oh, yes. Practically all of them.
Well, United Airlines said to us...
Oh, yes. In no uncertain terms, that the markets you are in do not carry relative marketing importance to us in our future plans.
Hear that? And they say that you're not important to them.
So I think vote with your dollars. There are other companies like Northwest and America West who are our friends and provide a far greater level of service than United with all of their problems.
Stay tuned following the break.
Every time you call my name, I heat up like a burning flame.
Yeah.
A burning flame full of desire. Kiss me, baby, let the fire get higher.
Traveling World Radio Show.
Easy user-friendly airport in Bermuda, which as we know as travelers is always something to consider if you can't sort of wangle your way around. But this one is really easy. And when you get off the plane, there's a sort of reggae band playing to welcome you off the plane. Kind of gets in the mood.
Do they have a repertoire? I mean, the reggae band. When we went to Jamaica, they were playing the same song over and over and over again.
You know what? It was a really quick lineup at customs, so I didn't really hear their whole hit parade.
Friends sharing travel information with friends.
Travel World.
Saturdays, 11 a.m. Eastern on Liberty Works.
Yeah, the strains of Tom Petty. Welcome back to Travel World with Willem Backus and Stephen Pickford.
Good morning. And we're coming up to 20 past the hour here and discussing this morning Bed, Breakfast, and Bike. It's a series of guidebooks.
As in bicycle.
So yes, so not the Harley Davidson type. Put out by Anarchist Press. And this is a series of books today that we're discussing. The first being Bed, Breakfast, and Bike Midwest. And joining us is one of the co-authors of that guidebook, Robert Russell. Good morning.
Good morning.
And glad to have you with us. Now, as looking through the book, people think Midwest is just solely cornfields and there's absolutely nothing to see. But of course, if it's relatively flat terrain, it'd be good biking territory.
Well, I enjoy biking up and down hills too. It's I get a lot of pleasure out of going down a hill pretty fast. And we found through Ohio especially, we were very surprised that through the southern part of Ohio, there are a lot of hills.
Right, there's a lot of river valleys in Ohio.
Yes.
And how many different trails have you marked out in your guidebook?
Well, we visited 27 different bed and breakfasts, and for each one of the bed and breakfasts, we came up with two biking routes. And then we also had suggestions for mountain biking routes. So the routes that come in the book are on the road, usually paved. There are a few gravel spots, but generally just through the countryside, we avoided large cities and just made for pleasant biking.
So each of these trails you have personally experienced?
Yes, we've ridden on all of them.
How difficult are they? If somebody's just getting into cycling, or if somebody's many years of experience, would they find it challenging as well?
Well, some of them could be quite challenging. Some of the ones in Indiana were quite steep and required a good bit of energy to get up and down. Some of the others through sort of the northern part of Ohio were fairly flat. And there's a variety of different lengths of rides, too. Some of them are more than 50 miles. Others are just maybe 15, 20 miles. And you can adjust the routes, too. We've provided cue sheets with each of the routes. And you can also ask the innkeepers for their suggestions because they're usually quite familiar with the area. And they can provide suggestions on either increasing the length of the routes that we suggested or decreasing them or maybe even suggesting a new route.
What are some of the selections or picks of interesting or unique places that you came across during your travels through these states?
Well, excuse me, in Indiana, we visited the Wild Winds Buffalo Reserve, which is on a 400-acre preserve. It's the largest herd of American bison on this side of the Mississippi, and it was fascinating. We actually visited there during calving season, and the person who manages the place took us out in a pickup truck, and we were able to drive right around the herd and see some of these calves that were just hours old, and it was absolutely amazing. Another place that was quite unique was down in Marietta, Ohio. We stayed on the Clear Eastern Wheeler, which is a flatbed riverboat, and it's anchored on the Muskegon River, and it has three bedrooms. And you take a small raft out to the stern wheeler to go back and forth, and that was sort of a unique place to stay.
Of course, yeah, because you normally would stay at a typical farmhouse or converted Victorian home that somebody's turned into a bed and breakfast, but not too often do you find one that you have to take a raft out into the middle of a river to stay overnight. That is something unique. Now, preparing to go on one of these trips, if what are some of your recommendations of equipment to take or things that you should be looking for?
Well, we have a chapter in the beginning of the book that suggests all the kind of equipment you should have. And one of the most important things is to call the bed and breakfast that you're interested in and ask for their suggestions, see when lodging is available. And it depends, too, on what time of year. If you're going to go in the summer, you can dress lightly. If you want to consider going in the fall, you need to take some layered clothing. And generally, the routes are looped so that you can go out and come back certainly within a day, and usually many of them can be done within 4 hours, so that you don't need to take a lot of equipment with you.
Because you can leave everything you have, like your overnight gear, at your place of accommodations, and then use it as a circle trip. Because many bike tours, you end up having to almost take everything with you or backpacking it, and not that takes a bit of the fun away from it, but doing this is a leisurely way to see the countryside. I'm sure when you visited, you went through Michigan and Ohio and Indiana, it's the people that make part of the travel experience, and getting onto these smaller roads, there are certainly characters to come across.
Yes, and the innkeepers, too, were the most hospitable people you could meet, and they were very concerned about our welfare, and they were very concerned that we'd have a good time.
He's panting, he's breathing, get him off the road. He's sweating. Go ahead. I'm just kidding.
Okay. And we would visit general stores along the way. We would visit different historical sites, and many of the caretakers of these historical sites have very interesting stories to tell.
Like, what kind of historical sites would they be? This is Ohio. Wouldn't be much in the way of battles or anything like that, or would there?
There were Indian historical sites, okay. Indian mounds, that type of thing.
Little plaques and things like that, and streams
that,
and rivers.
And some of the state parks have some interesting features too. There's one in the middle of Ohio that is the view of the Great Seal of Ohio, and so we could actually go up to the hill where this particular view was painted and then memorialized on the Great Seal of Ohio.
That is amazing. What would be a story that particularly captured your imagination?
We were down on the stern wheeler in Marietta, and we had a phone call late at night that there had been a house fire at our house, and so we were all the way across the state, and we had to come back to Ohio, so we had to go visit Marietta again a second time, and it was quite pleasant because we got to meet the owner of the stern wheeler, and we got to learn a little bit more about him. He runs a historical tour of Marietta, Ohio, and visits a lot of the underground railroad sites and a lot of the other historical sites through Marietta. So that was fascinating.
You wouldn't necessarily, Marietta, Ohio. I think initially when I heard that there was something there in Marietta, it was mostly like steel mills, and it still has some reputation. Some of the Midwest states, Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, as the Rust Belt. That's true. Like old industry that has decayed, and how many of these factories are the industrial heritage of America? Do you pass on the cycling tours? Are you totally out in the countryside?
We're really out in the country. We didn't really see that. We'd occasionally come across that as we drove out to the sites, but on the bicycling routes, we really didn't see that.
We have about a minute or so left. What would you consider to be the highlight of the trips that you took? Something that would stand out, a signature of the book, something to look forward to while reading your book?
I really enjoyed Indiana, especially southern Indiana. That was a part that I had not been to before. And I visited Columbus, Indiana for the first time, which has some incredible, it's a small city, but it has an incredible collection of architecture. And then there's also Nashville, Indiana, which isn't too far away. We stayed right in between the two cities and the Always Inn. Nashville, Indiana is a nice historic town, a lot of historic buildings, a lot of shops, that type of thing, and then some fairly difficult terrain to cycle up and down.
Now that would be, again, the difficult terrain. Mm-hmm. How would you rate that on a scale, let's say, 1 to 10 in difficulty, of 10 being going through the Rocky Mountains and 1 being going through the marshlands of the Mississippi River Delta? Would this be like a 3 or a 4?
Three or four, yes. We've done some extensive cycling. We've taken groups of students out on extended rides of like 30 days or more, and all self-contained. And we've gone through New Zealand, through the Yucatan in Mexico, down the Baja Peninsula. And
wow.
So those were far more significant rides. But these are all you would classify more leisurely. And occasionally you come into some of the hills, but nothing quite like that.
And something that people can get to nearby at home. And this is in the
yes.
Bed, Breakfast, and Bike Midwest by Robert and Teresa Russell. Anarchist Press, 908-604-8110. Online at www.anarchist, that's anacus.com, or www.bicyclingbooks.com, also at local bookstores and bike shops. In the series as well, we'll be talking after the break to Cynthia Reeder, who has written one on the northeastern United States, Byron Glick on western Great Lakes, and also in the series now, Bed, Breakfast, and Bike Pacific Northwest, currently available.
Stay tuned for the news with Mark Allen on Liberty Works Radio Network.
So keep on rocking me, baby.
You're listening to Travel World
keep
with Willem and Steve.
Me,
stay listening.
Keep on me,
Liberty Works Radio Network. Travel World Radio Show via satellite.
And call 410-857-4441. Or write SAP, P.O. Box 91, Westminster, Maryland, 21158 for more information.
Got another empty bottle. In another empty bed. Too young to admit it. Now I'm not too old to lie. I'm just another empty head. That's why I'm lonely. I'm so lonely.
That's it. Right on.
Right on, as we discussed this morning, Bed, Breakfast, and Bike, the series of guidebooks from Anarchist Press. Good morning, Stephen Pickford, along with Willem Backus here on Travel World across mm-hmm. America on the Liberty Works Radio Network.
Yeah.
Next in line, Cynthia Reeder, who is the
Northeast biking
author of Bed, Breakfast, and Bike Northeast, an area we know well, discovering Maine, Connecticut, Vermont, New Hampshire, Massachusetts.
England.
And they also include the Northeast, one other state, New York, as part of the Northeast, mm-hmm. in addition to the New England states. Good morning,
sure.
Cynthia.
Good morning.
And Northeast, you can't beat the Northeast for the quintessential colonial flavor of America, and can't beat getting close to it by taking a bike tour.
Sure can't. Got wonderful terrain up here, wonderful New England colonial charm. I tell you, it's one of the greatest places to bicycle in the world, although you have to be willing to cycle a few hills here and there.
Yeah, through the Green Mountains and the White Mountains.
Green Mountains, the White Mountains, the Catskills, you name it. We've got all kinds of mountains in the Northeast.
Ooh.
We were talking just before with Robert Russell, who did the guidebook on the Midwest. He was talking about the slight hills. Now, in the Northeast, of course, the more than just hills, they're
Appalachian
like
mountain chain.
Mini mountains, but again, on a scale of difficulty, how would you rate some of the tours that you've decided to highlight in your guidebook?
Well, actually, the beauty of the book is that we do have the hills and the mountains up here, which bring all the wonderful fall foliage with them, but there's lots of flatlands as well. We have lots of farmland. The coastal region, I mean, the coastal region is beautiful, and it's not so hilly along the coast. So, what we try to do in the book, actually, is find a nice mix of rides. So you have short distances with relatively flat rides to longer distances with more hilly rides for people who really enjoy getting out and testing their thigh muscles for the day.
One of my friends does a lot of cycling in the Montreal region, actually north of Montreal as well, where we have the same kind of hills. And he actually enjoys the hilly terrain for exercise and whatnot. But one of my questions for you, Cynthia, when you go out on a long-distance bike trip, and I forgot to ask the previous guest about it, how do you pack?
Well, actually, it depends on what you define by a long-distance bike trip.
Several
years ago, I cycled from California to New York, which I consider to be a long distance. So on these tours that we do in the bike, that we outline in the book, they're actually going to be what most recreational riders would call probably shorter rides, because you're only going to ride maybe 10, 20, 30, 40 miles in a day. Okay. So as long as you've got some water with you and usually a camera in your backpack or your bicycle handlebar bag somewhere, usually a jacket in case the weather cools off a little bit, or there's some actual bicycle gear called leg and arm warmers that can help you keep your legs and arms warm as the weather changes during the day, and you peel those off as the day gets hotter or cold, put them back on as it gets colder. But you don't really need that much extra gear with you. I usually take along a few little snack bars or apples and oranges or something in case I'm needing a little nourishment in the middle of the day. But most of the routes take you through towns every couple miles as well. So you can stop at a deli or a restaurant or a general store or whatever and kind of replenish food-wise that way.
Well, what about clothing and essentials? I mean, I used to take a car trip with somebody, and they'd fill the thing up with everything but the kitchen sink.
Well, you don't really need that much when you're on your bicycle. That's kind of the beauty of it. It's like when you go out backpacking for a day, taking a long hike, you usually put a few provisions in your backpack to keep you comfortable throughout the day and to make sure you don't get hungry or thirsty during the adventure. And, take a little sunscreen to avoid the sun. But that really is the beauty of bicycle touring, is you don't need to take a lot with you to enjoy the scenery.
These are all designed as circle trips, so you can stay overnight in the designated bed and breakfast that you recommend and just head out based on
It still doesn't answer my... So you go to a lot of laundromats, I would say.
I'm talking about
socks and underwear. I mean...
Well, I have to tell you, on the cross-country bicycle tour I did, although I'll tell you I found a little secret while I was touring because I was doing a lot of camping.
Sure.
If you take your clothes into the shower with you at night at the campground and wash them out, you can hang them off the back of your bike during the day and they dry out in the sunshine and the free air.
Sorry, practical realities. I mean...
Right. No, you're absolutely right. But most of these tours in the book are actually designed so that you use the B&B as the home base.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't need any more clothing and don't need to worry about the laundry facilities any more than you would if you were taking a vacation to the beach or, doing a hiking trip or what have you. You take a couple of days' provisions, you keep them in the bag at the B&B because you come back to the B&B every night.
Certainly, but a beach trip turned into, pack the car to the rafters. So on the bike, you'd have what size of a pack, would you say? Something like a school bag size? Or?
Right. For a day trip, again, where you're just going out to ride to 20 or 30 or 40 miles, you could put a little handlebar bag on your bike. And in that, as I said, keep your camera, your maybe a bandana, some sunscreen, your little jacket. You don't really need too much more than that.
I'm fascinated about your New York to L.A. trip that you did. Or did you go the other way around? Did you do any...
Yes, that is... Good.
Go ahead.
Sorry. Yes, that is what we consider to be long-distance bicycle touring.
Sure.
Now, in this book, Bed, Breakfast, and Bike Northeast, of all the different tours... day trips, weekend getaways, because of course this is an ideal weekend getaway destination to head to the Northeast, so easily accessible from everywhere in Canada, the United States. What would you pick maybe as your as your favorite? If you had to pick just one tour that really the scenery or the hospitality of a particular inn that you would repeat more than once?
Well, I have to tell you, all of the innkeepers are extremely gracious. I must say that I really enjoyed all of the inns that I stayed in. But to be quite honest, Vermont is one of my favorite bicycle touring territories. I think it's because there are so many wonderful B&Bs throughout Vermont. Also, it's a smaller state, so there tend to be a lot of smaller towns that are within easy cycling distance one to the other, mm-hmm. so it's easy to travel in a day from one town to the other. And actually, in the book, I have several inns listed where I outline routes where you can bicycle to the same destinations from two or three inns. In other words, you could, if you wanted to, keep going on to another inn, or you could loop around and another day stay in, you know, 30, 40 miles away and visit the same territory, if you will. But Vermont is a wonderful touring territory.
Oh,
and
we
if
love
you get
it
closer
too.
To Canada, there is a lot more open space, if you will, also. So there's very little traffic, and for bicycle touring, it's really ideal.
Cynthia, have you ever been to Bellows Falls, Vermont?
Bellows Falls. I've been near there, but not in Bellows Falls.
Well, we have to recommend the Hetty Green Motel when you go there.
Yes, that's
oh, is that right?
Yeah, if you go through Bellows Falls, the Hetty Green Motel will give you a more than a warm welcome.
It's a great place. Well, you've also got some great touring things.
Well,
one
of the great things about Bellows Falls was the Green Mountain Flyer train ride.
Exactly.
But one of the tours we're looking here in Vermont, you do the Mad River Valley, and that's all through...
yes, that's right, Mad River Valley.
Mad River Valley is great for cycling, and there's some tours there that you can take and connect Sugar Bush and in Wakefield and then up to Waterbury.
Mad River Valley is great. It is a little bit hilly in sections up there. Along the river itself, it's not as hilly, but once you start going on either side of it, you do run into some hilly terrain. And the inn at the Round Barn Farm up there is just fantastic. It's on a huge piece of property. It's very warm and inviting, and a nice place to relax at the end of the day. In fact, they even had a swimming pool in the converted round barn.
Well, one of the gems of Vermont, as outlined in Bed, Breakfast, and Bike Northeast with Cynthia Reeder, and that's available from Anarchist Press, 908-604-8110, online at www.anarchist.com, or www.bicyclingbooks.com, as we do our sort of a cross-country tour, looking at spending the biking pathways of America. And we talked first with about the Midwest and now the Northeast, and coming up after the quarter to the hour break, Western Great Lakes with Byron Glick. Bed, Breakfast, and Bike Pacific Northwest is also out on bookshelves now. And in April, Anarchist Press will be releasing Bed, Breakfast, and Bike Mississippi Valley, covering the river between St. Louis and New Orleans. And so you can start off in KDJR land, K100 Hot Dog.
Yes, of course.
In DeSoto, St. Louis, and head down to New Orleans and eat your way down the Mississippi River Valley at the...
Oh, that's got to be something.
Antebellum homes and the plantation houses that make some great bed and breakfast down there. Cynthia Reeder, thank you for joining us this morning. And Byron Glick will be coming up next with Western Great Lakes Bed, Breakfast, and Bike as we continue on Travel World Across America on the Liberty Works Radio Network.
Stay tuned. Across America via satellite.
Travel.
Travel World Radio Show.
DC, San Antonio, and the Liberty Town, Boston, and a Baton Rouge. Tulsa, Austin, Oklahoma City, Seattle, San Francisco.
Ooh, I love that song. Oh, yeah. And from what I hear, welcome back to Travel World with Will and Backus and Stephen Pickford. Oh, boy.
as we continue our morning biking the byways of America with the Bed, Breakfast, and Bike guidebooks from Anarchist Press. And
bicycles, not motorcycles. Yes.
Well, Western Great Lakes is the home of Harley-Davidson. Milwaukee.
Yes.
And Byron Glick has written the Bed, Breakfast, and Bike guidebook for the Western Great Lakes. Good morning, Byron.
Good morning.
Now, Western Great Lakes encompasses which states in your book?
That's Illinois, Wisconsin, and Minnesota.
Oh, so you're familiar with the upper Wisconsin accent.
Well, yeah. Yeah, hey.
Can you do it?
Not very well.
Oh.
Not very well. I'm a transplant from somewhere else.
Okay.
But, of course, traveling on the smaller roads, you undoubtedly met up with many people who speak exactly like that.
Oh, yes. That was one of the pleasures of doing the hard work of research for this book.
Yes,
was,
research.
Meeting all the people.
and that's always the greatest part, particularly when you're getting off the beaten path, when you're taking these smaller roads and you're up close and personal with the people going through the small towns. That's the beauty of it. You can stop and talk to people. One thing that is always I've always thought of when I've seen people cycling along the side of the highways, have you ever been chased by a dog, one of these wild dogs that seem to live on every farm in Canada, the United States, and they see a bike and figure that's dinner?
That's the target. No, we actually were pretty lucky. I used to race bicycles, and I got in the habit when I was training of carrying a water bottle to spray dogs. But the only chase story I have happened to a guy I met on one of the mountain bike rides, and he had actually been chased in the woods by something called a fisher.
A fisher?
Yeah, it's kind of an angry raccoon, apparently.
Angry raccoon!
He was riding down a hill, and he heard a little hissing, and he thought he had a flat tire, and he looked around, and there was an animal chasing him.
Go! Forget the flat tire!
He fortunately was going downhill at the time and outdistanced it, but that was the only chasing story I had.
And, of course, there's no truth to the press release that the to improve performance at the next Olympic Games, they've added Rottweilers to the team.
No, I don't think so.
Greyhounds.
Some of the different points when you tour around Illinois, Wisconsin, what stands out? I mean, you hear Illinois and you automatically think Chicago, and you hear Wisconsin, you automatically think of Milwaukee, Minnesota, Minneapolis. You think the big cities, but there's all of these little towns with their hidden attractions.
Well, and it's funny, the states all have very unique characters. With Illinois, you have little prairie towns.
We stayed at
an inn called the Rockwell Victorian Inn in a town that, 50, 60 years ago was the hub of the county seat, and now it probably has just a couple hundred people in it, all very friendly, but you drive over acres and acres of fields and flatlands and pull into this wonderful old inn, and then you can hop on your bike and ride the old Rock Island Line Trail. It's an old railroad trail, the Rock Island Line of Song, and it's been converted into a bike trail. So you have this wonderful ride out through the countryside, occasionally riding over nice railroad bridges and things like that.
I got two more questions for you on this one. First one is, did you cycle through the Upper Peninsula between Lake Superior and Lake Michigan?
Not for this book. We have been up there quite a bit, and there is some gorgeous mountain biking up there.
That's what I thought.
It's easily accessible. We stayed at a place called the Inn at Pinewood in Eagle River, Wisconsin, which is just across the border from the Iron Mountains, and did quite a bit of riding in the National Forest. Saw a bear there, which fortunately did not.
A big bear.
It wasn't a very big one. It was just a black bear
going
down. But we saw quite a bit of wildlife up there, and it was.
Yeah, they can party.
Wisconsin had, I think, the greatest variety of riding. We stayed at a couple of towns, B&Bs in towns. And then we also stayed, out in the Nicolet National Forest at the Inn in Pinewood. So there was quite a range there.
Must be beautiful. One of the other things that happens quite a bit, and this happened up here in Quebec, there's great bike trails where the railroad tracks used to be. Have you found many areas where there used to be train tracks that they've pulled them out and converted them into bike paths?
I would say probably half of the rides in our book are on those kinds of trails.
Oh, those are great.
We tried to put in a real mix so that people who wanted to get on their road bikes and ride country roads could find something. People who weren't quite that adventurous, the trails are great places to ride. And then if you really want to get out in the woods, there are mountain bike trails in there as well.
Did you find
the trails are, we had this little joke, my wife and I, as we were researching this book. In Wisconsin, it seems like all the trails are crushed gravel and all the backcountry roads are paved. And in Minnesota, it's just reversed. All the country roads are gravel and all the trails are paved. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Is there a place called Squirrel River that you've been to?
I haven't been to Squirrel River. I suppose there could be a place like that.
Yeah, supposedly it's near a place called Mamamahala, but anyway, let's... I heard it...
I'm sorry, haven't heard of that one.
Okay, well, it's supposed to be in Wisconsin someplace, so I thought, as you've been bicycling through, you might have seen that. It's supposed to be some freshwater creek and so on.
No, it doesn't ring any bells, I'm sorry. We followed a lot of rivers. Probably the nicest just bike trail, casual riding bike trail we were on was the Root River Trail in southeastern Minnesota. Probably wins the award for one of the most interesting B&Bs, too. The inn associated with that trail is the Jailhouse Inn.
And you get to stay in a real jail.
Yeah, you get to stay in a real jail. They have a suite that is the old cell block, as a matter of fact.
And how much do they charge per night for this privilege?
$200 an hour.
The cell block is in the upper hundreds, I believe, but you can get rooms in the jailhouse for under $100, I believe, still.
And for a nightly rate, that's a steal, to put it mildly.
Yeah, it really is, and they cook a really good breakfast. That was one of the other surprises of this. We thought we'd be riding a lot, and we kind of forgot the 1,000-calorie breakfast.
So you get to eat those big breakfasts and get you well in shape for a day of touring out on the road and taking in the beauty that awaits you when you're cycling the little towns and small roads and hidden trails of America, as outlined in the guidebooks from Anarchist Press, 908-604-8110. www.anacus.com or www.bicyclingbooks.com. We talked today about the Midwest, the Northeast, and just now with Byron Glick, bed, breakfast, and bike guides from Anarchist Press, and also out just recently Pacific Northwest, and coming up soon the Mississippi Valley as a complete touring guide to cycling opportunities, inns and breakfasts and historic sites and things to see along, all well marked with the mileage posts and special information that will make your journey a little bit more pleasurable as you start planning for spring, summer, and fall out on the open road as we struggle through another winter.
Well, it's time to say goodbye this week on Travel World.
Say goodbye to Byron Glick. And next week, we have Rodney Stitch, The Unfriendly Skies, the exposure of misconduct related to a series of fatal airline crashes, as told by this former FAA inspector.
And this guy's amazing.
A number of other books, such as Defrauding America, a description of a series of corrupt activities involving the CIA. You've got lots of stories. Rodney Stitch, and also veteran hotel manager Ray Domenico, also has stories. And a look at his unique boutique property in the Financial District of Toronto, the Hotel Victoria. That's it for this week. I'm Stephen Pickford.
I'm Willem Backus. Join us again on Travel World.
Happy traveling.
Travel World is produced in Montreal by the NASCAR Marketing Company. And we are madly in love with Bonnie.
Thank you, guys.